Let's look to the Lord again, shall we? Father, how we need your Spirit to be able to minister to us. We pray that your word would be meaningful. We might take to heart its truths, that you would show us what we need, how we might become more like you, disciples that you can use for your glory and honor. We just thank you for this now. We wait on you. We look to you. Be preparing our hearts even as we will gather around the Lord's table in remembrance of what you did for us, our Lord and Savior. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. Okay, Andrew, you want a title for this one? Okay. This is called Disciples with Hearing Difficulties. That kind of qualifies for a good number of us here, doesn't it? Margot? Oh, yeah. Disciples with hearing difficulties. You know, it's not funny. Not being able to hear. Not funny. You know, there are many things with frequencies that are inaudible to the human ear. For instance, they have certain dog whistles that you can blow till you're red in the face and you won't hear anything. But you're going to have every dog in the neighborhood coming at you because they are able to pick up on the frequency of that whistle that our human ears cannot. We laughed a moment ago, but oh, don't we all wish that our hearing would have stayed near as good as it once was. Whew, boy, that'd be something. I remember years ago when we were young and looking at some of those pictures out there. John and Mark and I, we used to enjoy going out hunting, sitting out in the fields. And back then, I didn't have any trouble with my ears, honey.
I remember.
Yeah. Yep. There were many times when I would be out in the field all by myself in my location out in the field, hoping for a chance at a deer, I would hear one walking long before I would ever be able to see it. I remember that numerous times. You say, yeah, I could. In the previous century, that ability, I lost it by the time I laid my gun down. Those last years that I was deer hunting, I think he could have tromped right over me and I wouldn't have heard him. But there was a time when hearing was so acute, I could hear those footsteps in the leaves or coming through a cornfield before I would ever see it. What's that have to do with church, Pastor? In Hebrews chapter 5, which is where we're going to be looking at this evening, we pick up at verse 11 and we see the writer of Hebrews talking about some disciples that had some hearing difficulties. And we see him referring to some, number one, inaudible frequencies in verse 11, of whom he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and high priest after the order of Melchizedek in verse 10. But he says in verse 11, of whom? Of our Lord, high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. I have many things to say. There's a lot I would like to teach you, the writer said, concerning him. And they're hard to be understood. Why? Because they were inaudible, because they were incomprehensible? No, he said, here's why they're hard to be understood. The subject material is not the problem, but in verse 11, he says, seeing you are what? Dull of hearing. Dull of hearing. He had been describing the greatness of the superior priesthood of the Lord over Aaron, and he introduces a problem in verse 11. There's a lot more I'd like to be able to tell you, but I can't because you need hearing aids. You've got hearing problems. It wasn't the problem of the subject. It wasn't the problem that the writer didn't know what he was talking about, but it was the condition of the hearers. The King James says, you are. The New American Standard says, you have become, which means they weren't always that way, but something has happened to change their ability to learn and listen and pick up truth. You have become dull of hearing. You weren't always that way, just like I wasn't always that way in my earlier years and a good number of us here. But things changed and things happened. Well, to be dull of hearing is descriptive of that state of mind in which statements may be made without producing any corresponding impression, without being attended to, without being understood, without being felt. In a word, dull of hearing is mental listlessness, one author said. You're just not getting it. It's almost as if it were inaudible sounds. It's in one ear and out the other, and it's not really registering, stopping long enough to leave its impact on us. We find that the word dull here in verse 11 is the same as slothful in 6:11 when it says here, not 6:11. 6:12, thank you. Yeah, okay. It's that same word. That you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promise. The writer is saying, you've got hearing problems. You're dull of hearing. You've become, if somebody is slothful, what is that an epitome or a picture of?
Lazy.
Huh?
Lazy.
You got to be kidding. I thought sloths were, you know, up and at them and this, that, and the. No, when we refer to somebody being slothful, we're really not paying them a good compliment, are we? We are backhandedly suggesting to them that they are lazy, just laying around all the time. And he said, you've become hard of hearing. I have so many things I would love to share with you about the Lord, but you can't hear them. Not because they're too hard to be understood, not because I'm not a good teacher, not because I don't know what I'm talking about, but because you have become, you have allowed certain things to take place, and you have lost your ability to listen and comprehend. As we think about this, how unpleasant to relate to believers . But what a warning to us in this day and age. This was something that happened back at the time the Bible was being written. Do you think it's possible for believers to become slothful and hard of hearing even today? Yeah, if we're not careful. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 3, 1 and 2. Peter wrote this. As he wrote to his readers, he said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both of these epistles, I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you might be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior." Peter said, in both of my letters, my purpose for doing that was to what? Bring it back to your attention. Help you remember things that you're supposed to be knowing. Don't let those things slip. And in one of Paul's most familiar references that he gave to Timothy. Interesting that we have these pictures, old Awana pictures, up on the board today. One of the key verses of Awana was 2 Timothy 2:15. Remember what it was? Study to show thyself what? Approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Peter and Paul are encouraging the readers to do what? Stick with it. As we think about this inaudible frequency in verse 11, we go back to our text here in Hebrews chapter 5, when he's pointed out, there's so much I'd love to tell you, but you can't hear it because you've got hearing difficulties. Which brings us, number two, to the contributing factors in verses 12 and 13. The contributing factors. What brought on that hearing difficulty? I believe I know what happened, what brought on my hearing difficulties. I grew up in a time when living in Oklahoma, 4th of July, looked forward to it. I had an aunt and uncle that lived out in the country, and I would buy a sack of firecrackers, and I was foolish enough back then. Nobody ever told me that when you light a firecracker, you light it and you fling it backhanded like this. Nobody ever told me that. I would light a firecracker and then do this. I wish I could tell you how many times it was a short, faulty fuse, and the thing went off by my head, and my ears would just ring for days because of so many firecrackers going off instead of flinging them out this way. Wasn't smart enough to figure that out. Plus, I grew up in a home that had a dad that we loved to go hunting. Nobody ever heard of putting hearing devices in your ears when you went out to shoot or hunt. You just blast the daylights of everything. And boy, some of those, the ears would ring and ring and ring. And I heard, anytime there is ringing in your ears, it means that damage has been done. And so, here I am, proud owner of hearing aids since 2017, and needed them years before that because I did not take care of my ears. They were abused in my younger years. And here we see contributing factors here in verses 12 and 13. Why did they have a problem? We see, first of all, he exposed their problem by referring, he gave them a rebuke regarding their condition, A. A rebuke regarding their condition, A. What was it? For the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. What was the rebuke? The rebuke was very simply this: sufficient time has passed since you have accepted the Lord as your own personal Savior, that you ought to be teaching others now. You've known the Lord. You've been a Christian long enough. There's no excuse for having to be retaught. What about you? Has sufficient time passed since you've known the Lord for you to be sharing, passing out, giving what you know about the Lord? That's exactly what the writer here of Hebrews 5 said. He said, you know, I've got so many things I wish I could tell you, but you're dull of hearing because here's why. Number one, you haven't done anything really with developing your Christianity since you became a Christian. Sufficient time has passed. You ought to be leading those studies. You ought to be teaching those classes. You ought to be encouraging one another. But you're just sitting there with dull hearing. I know what some are saying, but Pastor, you know, before you get too much in a rebuking mood here, we don't all have the gift of teaching. So, I'm excused. I don't have the gift of teaching. It's true, Ephesians chapter 4. God hasn't gifted everyone to, quote, be a teacher, but we all have the responsibility of taking what we know and sharing it with others who are around us. You look at Acts chapter 8, you look at Titus chapter 2, and you see in the early church, especially in Acts chapter 8, when persecution came, it tells us that those believers scattered everywhere, and you know what they did as persecution scattered them all over the countryside? They just kept their mouth shut. No, it says that they were scattered everywhere and they were giving the word. That's what we need to be doing. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 5, we see this. It says, aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine. Aged women, what can they do? What's the word here at the end of verse 3? Huh? These aged women, he refers to them as teachers of good things. They're not just sitting down doing nothing. What? That they may teach the, what? Young women to be sober, a sound mind, to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God not be blasphemed. Yeah. The older women we see here in those early churches, Paul is writing to it and he said, they got a responsibility. They ought to be teaching those younger women how to be good wives, how to be good mothers, how to keep things together in their homes. They had a job. As we think of this, this is the whole principle of Christianity. Paul said it to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2 when he said, and the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, then what? The same what? Commit thou to the same, commit thou to faithful men who shall do what? Sit on it? Tuck it in their Bibles? No. You commit it to faithful men who will in turn go out and teach others. Timothy, that's your task. Teach, teach. Teach. And we go back to Hebrews chapter 5. You've been Christians long enough. You ought to be teaching others. You ought to be volunteering to do this, do that. But instead, there you sit like old men that can't hear. You're dull of hearing. You've had plenty of time for your Christian life to have grown. We are to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Nobody can grow your faith for you. You and I have to take steps. We have to put ourselves in the place where this is going to contribute to my spiritual growth. This is going to feed my soul. This is going to challenge me more in being what God wants me to be. As we think of this, we find here he was rebuking them, A, regarding their condition because sufficient time had passed, and B, he rebuked them regarding their definite needs. After he has identified their problem here, now he speaks to them specifically, here's what you need. Here's how I find you. You've been a Christian long enough. You should be teaching others. But instead, what's taking place? B. What is taking place here in verse 12? You have need that what? Not only has sufficient time passed, but you have sat there like a bump on a log. The writer says, someone's got to reteach you what you have sufficiently had plenty of time to know. You have need that one teach you again. What? Those difficult things? What's the writer say? What do they need to be taught again? The very basic ABCs of the Christian faith. You haven't grown a bit. You haven't grown closer to the Lord. You haven't been in His Word. You haven't allowed His Spirit to take you on, teach you to deeper things. He said, your condition is such, you're actually needy people. And here's what you need. You need somebody to sit right back down and start with you the ABCs of Scripture. All have sinned, A. All have sinned. We're all sinners. Yeah, we know that. We got our sin nature from Adam. Yeah, we know that. And we can't save ourselves. Yeah, we know that. But the writer is saying, because you have wasted the time, your spiritual life is such, the only thing you can comprehend is all need to be saved and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and confess Him as your own personal Savior. A, B, C. There you are. That's it. You're not growing. You are not developing. You've had plenty of time, but you've got hearing difficulties. Not because the teacher's bad, but because you have not done anything. You've had all kinds of time, but the result is, as the writer says, as he's taken them into his shop and he is giving them a hearing exam, he said, here's my conclusion. Here's my conclusion. It's not going to do any good for me to tell you some of these beautiful truths concerning our Lord, the priest of Melchizedek, the high priest, greater far than Aaron himself. It'd blow right over your heads. You're not able. Not because you haven't been a Christian long enough. You've been a Christian plenty of years. But because you have not grown in the truths. And so now, here's what you need. I need to prescribe for you somebody to send you back to the primary class as far as Bible doctrine is concerned. You can't handle that intermediate stuff. You need to go back to sit in there with the boys and girls, the primary truths. So, not only that you have need that someone teach you again the very simple, most basic truths, but he said, here's something else that's happened. He said, something has happened to your appetite. Something's happened to your appetite. What he's referring to, he said, the only thing you can handle is milk. pablum, baby food. You have become people that need milk. When, after all these years that you've been a Christian, you ought to be digging into the meat, the chewy stuff, the stuff that is, I mean, it takes teeth. You can't be in a hurry. It takes time. How much teeth does it take to consume milk? That's what I thought. Boy, those little ones, they can consume a lot before they ever have a tooth in their mouth. Oh, they love it. But then time comes. But you know what? Normal growth is those little ones don't continue being content with just the milk. As we think of this, as the writer is referring to this, you need to be retaught, and all you can handle, you are nothing but adult babies, because all you can handle is the milk of the Word. Milk of the Word. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 2, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere or the pure milk of the Word. Yes, when we're a new, brand new believer, that's all we can handle. And Peter said, as newborn babes, desire it. Get all the milk you can. Why? That you might grow by it. That you might grow by it. In Acts chapter 20, let me turn to it for you. In verse 32, Paul made reference to this when he said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God, to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up." That's what we need. We need His Word. You say, but, I mean, all I can handle is milk. But you've been a Christian for X number of years, the writer of Hebrews says. You ought to be able to be handling a lot more than that. In fact, you should be teaching others. But instead, you're back in elementary school, and they've got to start with you with the simple bottled milk. Well, as we think of this, we see they had allowed this sluggish condition so long, these listeners, that they had need of simple primary matters rather than the deep training that was out there. You know, the sad thing of it is, can anybody guess what's happened here can happen where? It can happen in our lives too. It can happen in our lives, and maybe it has. Maybe I have been speaking to some. What is the number three, corrective procedure that these readers need? What's the corrective procedure? We see they need solid food. He says in verse 13, "Everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He is a babe, but strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of what? youths have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Solid food. The writer says, you've got hearing difficulties, and we've gone through all the different phases. Right now, all you can handle is milk, but he is encouraging them, don't stay that way. When you get your basics learned again, dig into some meat. Look at something a bit more challenging. Spend a little more time in some of the more difficult passages. And guess what? He says, those who by reason of use, what happens to us normally if we have a weak body and we begin to exercise? Pardon? We get stronger. And that's the picture he's given here. You know, if you readers, if you would begin to have your senses exercised, if you would begin to challenge yourself, if you would begin to take yourself by the back of the neck and say, look, there's no excuse for my spiritual condition. I could be growing. And by God's grace, I'm going to move in this direction. By God's grace, I'm going to tackle this book. I'm going to consider this passage of Scripture. And he says, guess what? When you begin to use the exercise, the muscles, things begin to change. I like the way he goes on in. You know, the chapter divisions are not in our original. And look what the writer says. Therefore, what are we doing? We're leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ. Principles, the first things. And what are we supposed to be doing? We are supposed to be going on. That's what we need to be doing. We ought to go out of here with that desire in our hearts. Lord, I don't want to stay where I've been. I want to go on unto perfection in the things of you. You've been my Lord and Savior long enough. There's no excuse for my condition anymore. I want to grow. I want to get off of this milk diet. I want the meat, the sound doctrine, that I might grow in grace and in the knowledge of Him. Well, how'd this start out this evening? We described some disciples with hearing difficulties. Did I describe any of you? God knows your heart. God knows my heart. It can happen to any of us. But I trust we have seen steps to take to rid ourselves of a deplorable condition for which there was no excuse. They had known the Lord long enough. Couldn't use that as an excuse. Well, I'm a new Christian, but you've been one for 37 years. How about growing? How about developing? How about getting stronger? How about having a greater interest in the meat of the Word? That's what we need. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for the time tonight. Thank you for this Word. Thank you for the writer of Hebrews. I think it was Paul, but there's debate about that. But Lord, what a deplorable condition we describe. But the sad thing of it is, it can describe Christians today. And Lord, if this has stepped on some of our toes, I pray that you would show us what needs to be done. Keep us from being content where we're at spiritually. And help us to take steps to grow in the things of you and to go on further in the doctrines of the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this for your glory. In your name we pray and thank you. Amen.